Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we'll be looking in chapter 6, reading verse 9 down through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you, again, what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for all that we have already received. But now, Father, as we look into your holy word, I know that you have chosen the preaching of your word to be able to minister to your children and those that would come under the hearing of the Word of God. And so I pray, God, this morning that you would just give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Paul here in verse 9 and 10 mentions many unrighteous and ungodly sins. And then he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." Now, I don't know about you. I found a little humor in that, and because it got their attention. It's not the kind of message that promotes church attendance. But it's true. See, he says some of you, so not everyone was guilty of all. But all were guilty of some and could have been guilty of all. Now, did you get a hold of that? That's important. Because, can I tell you, it's the very same today as it was in the first century. We got these same sins. And we could say the same thing as far as such were some of you. And such am I. Not everyone was guilty of all, but all were guilty of some and could have been guilty of all. You see, in the church at Corinth, and Paul is writing this first letter to them, the church's testimony was not what it should have been. Not all of the church members were guilty, but there was a lot going on that should not have been going on. Let me just read to you, just leading up to this, in chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." If you look over to chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men and not as Christ," is what he's saying there. In chapter 4 and verse 14, and I'm just highlighting some of the things here. In chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. in chapter 5 in verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Wow. And that's just a little bit that I read to you, but that's why one of the reasons Paul's writing this letter to the church at Corinth. The testimony was not what it should have been. And so what Paul was attempting to do is to help them to see what they were before Christ and hopefully what they were after Christ. And seeing themselves as Christ sees them and wants them to be, it can make a difference. Because he said right here, and such were some of you. But right after that, he says, but. That's truth, what he said. Name the sin, some of you. As I already said, everyone was guilty. Not everyone was guilty all. Some were guilty of all, were guilty of some and could have been guilty of all. But he used this but three times. And he used this to help them to know how to see themselves. And he says, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. Now what he said to start with concerning the sins were true. But what emphasis he places on the but after Christ is exactly how we need to view ourselves. Washed, sanctified, justified. You see, how we view ourselves will make a difference in how we live. A lost sinner destined to sin will be more apt to sin. That's just the way of life. Everybody else is doing it. Why not join in? A believer who sees themselves as being washed, and we'll get into that in just a minute, washed by the blood of Christ, sanctified, and justified, will not be as apt to yield to these sins because of how they view themselves. Most unbelievers, most who do not believe in a creator God, see themselves as a product of evolution. Can I tell you, our world today, our school system today, is putting these thoughts in the minds of every child. It's not taught as a philosophy as it should be. It is taught as fact. And today we have somewhat just accepted it because it's so commonly taught in around the world. Evolution is more of a survival of the fittest that evolved around a food source and reproduction. That's what's most important to understand if you take the view of evolution. And so we see ourselves and look at ourselves as the two most important things is making sure we have a food source and making sure that we have reproduction. Jesus addressed that over in the book of Matthew in chapter 6 and other places, but here I want to read to you Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Now you can't exist if you are a survival of the fittest and you're not thinking about a food source. Because when it comes to animal lives, that's exactly how they exist. They, as we look back over animals, that was a survival of the fittest and somewhat still is. If you look at some of our nature shows, and I like to see these. I like to watch. My wife doesn't care about the lions eating the they're going after the all the animals and the deers and all the types of animals that they want to go after and the blood and guts and all the different things. But when you watch that, you say, well, that lion is fit. And if that deer is not fast enough, then it's going to die because it's not fast enough to get away from him. It's not fit. And that's what it's all about. It's about a food source. And then it's about reproduction. We won't get into all that, about what the lions do and all that, but that's their life. And for most animals, unless they are raised to think that they're human, a dog's a dog, a cat's a cat, unless you try to teach it that it's a human, it'll try to act like a human because you're teaching it to act like a human. Like it really does think like a human. It does not, but you might think it does. It's an animal. Animals evolved. Survival of the fittest. Animals evolved around a food source and reproduction. That's the two most important things. But that's not what God says about humanity. Because we're not animals. We didn't evolve. God created. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Can I tell you that Jesus was trying to get across the idea that people need to realize that God knows you, He's designed you, He has a purpose for your life. And the most important thing that we can do in this life is to acknowledge God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. You did not evolve as animals evolved, and you are not an animal. You are a product that God designed in His own image, after His own likeness, that has a purpose, and the main purpose for humanity is that we might please God. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what's being left out of the classroom. That might be why we're having the problems in society that we're having in society today. Because they're acting like animals. We're treating one another like animals. We're looking at a food source like animals. If it's going to get scarce, then let's go get it all for ourselves. Even toilet paper. Because I want to survive. As if you need toilet paper to survive. If you're told you're an animal, you'll act like an animal. If you see yourself as an animal, then you will act as like an animal. God says, I don't want you to see yourself as an animal or as vulnerable to all of these sins. I want you to see yourself in Christ, washed, sanctified, justified. See, evolution destroys a right view of oneself. It really does. So we find here, go back to our text, because Paul helps them to see some things that we need to see this morning. In verse 15, After Paul has made this statement, he continues to write and he says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot?" Talking about fornication. Talking about sinful, sexual sins. God forbid. Why? Because you're washed. Because you're sanctified. And because you're justified. So he wants them, first of all, to see themselves not as animals, but to see themselves as members of Christ. How important it is for you to see yourself as a Christian. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves when we are tempted to do things that we shouldn't be doing, like surrendering and yielding to some of these sins. We need to be able to say, no, that's not how a Christian lives. That's not the thinking that a born-again believer ought to have. That's not the direction that I was saved to go in. Amen. Which will help you to overcome all of those sins, because now you're not viewing yourself as someone that just can't help themselves and might as well join the crowd, but you see yourself as somebody who is a member of Christ, and as a member of Christ, you have been washed. Wash not in water, but in the blood of Christ. Yeah, Revelation chapter 1, let me just read it to you. In verse 1, in the book of Revelation, this is what it says in the very, very first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John. And he says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Such were some of you. But you're washed. You had all that on you. You were going to have to pay that debt for all of that sin. But Jesus took care of it for you. He became a sacrificial lamb on Calvary's cross to be able to cleanse you of your sin. I've been washed. There's been times in my life that I have been so filthy, dirty, I could not hardly wait to get into a shower. Not as much as my wife wanted me to hurry up and get into the shower. But what a blessing when you get into that shower when it's hot and sticky and you have all this dirt and grime and that water, you start washing it and seeing all this dark, dark white and all this starts washing it off your body. And now I'm refreshed. Now I'm feeling good. I've been washed. I've gotten out of the shower. You know, the last thing I want to do when I get out of the shower is to go back out there and wallow in the dirt. Boy, it feels much better to be washed, cleansed, than to have all that filth on me. If you see yourself and if you're already dirty, what's a little more dirt? If I've been out there doing all the yard work and doing everything else and I've got grass and dirt and stain all over me, then hey, let me wash out the garbage pan. You know, I'm fine. I can't get any dirtier. Now's the time to do it. But after I get out of the shower, that's the last thing I want to do. Because I'm enjoying feeling washed. How do you see yourself spiritually? And such were some of you. If you just continue to see yourself in that, you, what's another sin? But if you see yourself washed, in Christ being washed, Lord, help me not to get dirty. Washed. Sanctified. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Sometimes we don't see ourselves as being washed when we need to see ourselves as being washed. Sometimes we don't see ourselves as being sanctified when, as a born-again believer, we need to see ourselves as being sanctified. The problem with the membership in the church at Corinth, they didn't see themselves as being washed. They didn't see themselves as being sanctified. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Do you see yourself as being set apart for God? Or do you see yourself as an animal living to eat and to reproduce? That's possibly why, because we're getting more and more like that in society around the world. And that's why there is more sexual addictions than ever before. And the greatest addiction, the most powerful addiction to try to overcome is a sexual addiction. It's more powerful than drugs. It's more powerful than alcohol. It's more powerful than any other addiction. And the world's filled with it, because it's commonly accepted as an animalistic way of life. Yeah. Do you see yourself as an animal, or do you see yourself as being a child of God's, sanctified, set apart for His work? It'll make a difference. Something the devil would love to blind us to. Not only have we been washed, but we have been set apart for God's purpose. Now, sanctified. Justified. Acts in chapter 13. Acts in chapter 13, verse 39. And by Him, Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things, from which He could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses could not wash you from your sins. The law of Moses and the Old Testament law, it actually made us aware of our sins and made us aware of the need for a Savior, a Messiah. It could not wash away my sins. It could not sanctify me for the purpose of being used by a holy, almighty, righteous God. And it cannot justify me. Some people, again, they see themselves, because been told their whole lives, you're a loser. You'll never amount to anything. That will destroy that life. Because you don't think you can, because you've given up hope. Being justified as a believer, as if I am not a sinner, so that I won't sin. Being justified, there's no just in my sin, but because I have had my sin washed and I've been sanctified, now this idea of being justified is just as if I had no sin. And if I have no sin, then I can accomplish the will of God. I can do what God wants me to do. I can be what God wants me to be. And he's taken it away. And he leaves you as just as if you had never sinned, so that you might accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. If you don't see yourself as being justified, you see yourself as that no good sinner that will not accomplish anything, that has not the ability nor the righteousness of in himself to be righteous in God's eyes, and you never will be unless his righteousness is imputed into us, and that's being justified. Not because of you, but because of what he did for you. And now he has imputed his righteousness into us. And with his righteousness in us, I have been justified as if I've never committed one sin. Isn't that great? Do you view yourself that way? It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your family. It'll make a difference in your church. That's what Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. He says, you guys are not viewing yourself as you ought to be viewing yourself. All these sins, yes, all of you are guilty of some. Some are guilty of all. All of you could be guilty of every one of these. But, yeah. Washed, sanctified. You're a member of Christ. Every member of Christ, and by him all that believe, are justified from all things. Every member of Christ. Don't let Satan take you back into an animalistic way of thinking. Don't let Satan take you back into a life of sin. No, you view yourself as God wants you to view yourself in Christ. What a difference it can make. Go back over there real quick here, real quick. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. An animal doesn't think about anybody but himself and his, what they want. They're not going to, oh, hey, here's some meat coming. You can have some meat. No. When one of the others come up, it's mine. And if it's not big enough, it'll get run off. And the runt will stay a runt. Yeah. That's not how God designed us. It's not how we ought to live our lives. Once we are members of Christ, we are to see ourselves as a temple. God designed it, the temple, in the Old Testament, to house his Holy Spirit. It's what made it what it was. It's what made the Holy of Holies as sacred and holy, the presence of God in the temple. And now he says, New Testament Christianity, your body is a temple. Not because you dwell in it. Now, the Bible very clearly reveals to us that this body right here houses our spirit. This body is not eternal. This body is going to die, and it's going to go back to the dust. But when this body dies, it allows the spirit of that individual to leave the body, and if you're saved, to be with the Lord. The spirit does not die. The body houses that spirit until that body dies, and then when that body dies, the spirit leaves. But when you get saved, you have a roommate. That's what the Bible tells us, that we are to see ourselves as a temple. After salvation, we are roommates with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you see yourself as having a roommate and that you're not your own, it'll make a difference in how you live. Before I was married to my wife, I had purchased my own house. I had a couple of roommates that they would come and go, and because it was my house. And I told them exactly what I wanted and how I expected it. If you didn't like it, there's the door. But it was my house. I didn't have to share the how I wanted to live in my house or how I wanted to, my house to look. It was my house. I purchased it. But then I got married. My house changed. Because now I had somebody that I had married that became one with me. And so it was as much her house as it was my house. We both shared the same house. So I got the garage and she got the house. I actually bought the house because of the detached garage so I could do my work. But the house became hers. Do you see yourself? Your body is housing the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, it does. And your body's a temple. And wherever you allow your temple to go and whatever you allow your temple to do, you're forcing the Holy Spirit of God to do the same thing. If you see yourself and your body as a temple of God, it might help you to not yield to these sins, but to glorify God in your body, because you're not your own. Verse 20, we're done here. Verse 20, it says this, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We need to see ourselves as vessels for God to use to glorify Him. And that's what he said about the Apostle Paul. When Paul got saved, now Paul was a persecutor of the church. I mean, Paul was a heathen. Again, he was out to destroy Christianity. He was out to destroy the New Testament church, but he got saved. And God told Ananias to go and speak to Paul. And this is what he was to say in verse 15, in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." What a change of life. What a change of purpose. "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Takes place in every one of our lives. When you get saved, you become a chosen vessel to do a work that God has for you to do. Do you see yourself as a vessel in the hands of an almighty God? Every man here needs to see himself as a vessel, washed, sanctified, justified. Every husband here needs to see himself washed, sanctified, justified. every father, you're not an animal. Every father needs to see himself as being washed, sanctified, justified. God has a purpose for you. Your children's lives will depend upon how you see yourself. Every woman here needs to see herself as a vessel, washed, sanctified, justified. Every mother, every wife here today needs to see herself as a vessel, washed, sanctified, and justified. Your husband needs you to see yourself that way. And every mother, your children need you to see yourself as a vessel in God's hands, washed, sanctified, justified. It'll make a difference. The question, how do you see yourself? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, thinking about what you just heard. It's what Paul wanted the believers at Corinth to realize. He might have been a little harsh in naming all these sins and telling them, then such were you. But his goal was to help them to view themselves not as animals and not as these sinners, but as children of God. Washed, sanctified, justified. Let's leave here today viewing ourselves in this very same way. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that we would now take what we've heard and make an application. God, there might be somebody here that's never received you as their personal Lord and Savior. And I pray, God, if that's the case, that they would get saved. Whether here in this auditorium or in our overflow in the gymnasium or at home watching live stream, God, help them right now during this invitation to call upon the name of the Lord so that they would be saved. There's believers that have been blinded to things that Satan has blinded them to, and I pray that the blinders would be taken off and they would be able to see themselves as you would have them to so that they can accomplish your will for their lives. Work in our midst now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.